And now we begin the 16th perek. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Tet. And basically what we still need to work on in this Masechet, after it is that we've discussed the ne'emanut for the death of a husband, is the various issues of additional information that needs to be obtained, such as what is the status of the woman vis-a-vis Yibum, where she doesn't really know whether she is perhaps Zekuka or Yibum, not Zekuka. Was there a birth of a brother that she doesn't know about? Was perhaps there a pregnancy of another wife that she didn't know about? Had her husband had a child with some woman that he does? She doesn't know. Furthermore, we haven't quite said what it is that the Edim needs specifically to see in order to be able to be positive that her husband is dead. And we haven't discussed really the idea of hearsay evidence and the assumptive death of a husband. And all of that will be discussed in this parak. And so the Mishnah begins. Ha'isha she'alach ba'alav etzarata l'mdinat ha'gar. And so a woman's husband and his other wife go to Medinat Hayam, ubov umulamid ba'alav. Now at this point, the husband has a brother, and at the time that they had left, there were no known children from him and the wife that he went with, or with anyone else as far as we knew. Now they come, ubov umulamid ba'alav. So their witnesses that tell her husband died. Nonetheless, lo tinaseh, she can't simply go and get married, of course, because since her husband went without children, we have a chazoka that she requires yibum. On the other hand, lo titiabem, we can't allow her to have yibum, because after all, how do we know that there wasn't a child born in between, or at least that her, perhaps the wife that was with him may have conceived in the interim? Architeda, until she knows for a fact that there are no other children, Shema mu'uberetit tzarata, maybe that tzara is mu'uberet, in which case she is not zekuka to Yibum anymore. Ha'talachamot, furthermore, let's say that she has a mother-in-law that lives overseas, that they went to visit. Now, at the time that they all went to Medinat Hayam, there was no other child, and as far as she knows, her husband is an only child, or at least an only son. Now her husband dies, we've ascertained that there are no children, and now she has a chazaka that she is zekuka liyibum. However, the question is, what about the possibility that her mother-in-law had another son? Here, einacho sheshet, we don't have to worry that maybe the mother-in-law had a child that was mezakek her for Yibum. This is not similar to the case before that we were afraid that maybe that Sarah had a child, because in terms of that, we have only one suffix. Perhaps she got pregnant. It makes no difference whether she's pregnant with a male or a female. There would be a p'tur of Yibum. But the mother-in-law will only be Mechayver and Yibum if she has a male. But over here, first of all, we have to discover whether or not she was pregnant, and even if she was it a male that she gave birth to? And therefore, in this case, we don't have to be afraid. On the other hand, if her mother-in-law had left overseas with a stomach that reflected a pregnancy, then we do have to be afraid that maybe that child is a male. As Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yoshua says, even in that case, we still have a sveika, because maybe she ended up losing the baby, and even if not, maybe it was a female. Now, the Gemara comes to explain, when it says the word in the Mishnah, Shema mu'uberet hi tzarata, that's a little bit strange. Why doesn't it say Shema mu'uberet tzarata? What's this hi tzarata? Hakamash v'lan lohot tzara chashina. The point over here is specifically to tell us that we worry only about the pregnancy of a known wife, but we don't worry about the chance that perhaps he went ahead and married somebody else, and therefore there would be a question of having a child with yet a third wife or a fourth wife. Only a known tzara, he tzarata, the one that she knows. Lo tinasei, on the one hand, velo titiabim, Now, I understand Yibumelo. Okay, she can't be Mityabem because, after all, the Dilma mi Abra, maybe that Sarah is pregnant, in which case, obviously, she can't marry her brother-in-law because that would be an Isser Karet. But why do we say she can't get married to anybody? I mean, wouldn't the best thing to do is to be Semech Amai, Halech Achar Rov Nashim, Rov Nashim Mitabrot V'yoldot? I mean, normally, even if this Tzara went to Mininat Hayom, the assumption is, and even though she's not pregnant, I mean, it's certainly very likely here that she got pregnant and she gave birth, I mean, over a period of time. So shall we say, Lema Rabbi Meir, the Chayesh Lemiyuta, is this Mishnah going only according to Rabbi Meir, who says you have to worry about worst case circumstances and not best case circumstances, even though it would be a rov? Says the Gemara, not necessarily. A filatimah rabbanon, it may well be going even according to the rabbanon who hold that you do follow the rov. But ki azi rabbanon bata ruba, ruba ita kaman. The only place where the rabbanon follow a rov is with a rov that is before us. Kigon, teisha chanuyot, or sanhedri. So let's say you have a question. You have 10 stores, 9 of which in the town are selling kosher meat, one of which is selling non-kosher meat. You find a piece of meat somewhere in town, so you can say, look, most of the meat in this town is kosher, and therefore I can assume that this meat is kosher. Or if I have a Sanhedrin where they're arguing, we go according to the rov, and we say, okay, then the halacha follows the rov. Avaruba lalete kaman, we have a rov that is simply predictive of an event of a particular person. Now, that's an entirely different approach to statistics. It's all very nice to say that 90% of people are going to have a child, or to say that 90% of people will have a lifetime of X, and 3% will have a lifetime of Y. But obviously, that has no predictive value when it comes to a particular person. It's only useful for taking as statistics if you're having an insurance company in which the statistics are going to balance out. You'll end up making money. But to simply bet on a particular case, which is called Ruba Deleta Kaman, it's the predictive power of a rov, that the Rabbanan don't hold up. And neither did the Torah ever mention a Ruba in that sense. The Torah only spoke about the rov of a Sanhedrin, where we can measure in front of us the weighing of the opinions in one direction or another and follow the majority which is now before us. So this case, where you want to predict whether a woman is going to get pregnant and have a child, has no connection to the din of rov in the Torah. It's a totally different type of statistics. So a ruba to let the kamad, it's not in front of us, we're coming to predict. Over there, lo azir rabbanan bata ruba. No, wait a minute, says the Gemara, that's not true. Because in the famous case, in which of course Rabbi Meir is known from the case here in Or Masechet, for being chayish lemiyuta, was the case of a katan and ketana. As we'll see in a moment, now the katan v'ketana, we need to predict whether a particular child who is currently prepubescent is going to actually reach puberty and become sexually mature, or whether he might be part of the small number of people who will never reach puberty. Same thing with the ketana. Now that, of course, is a prediction that we're going to make about someone who's currently a katan. So the case of a katan v'ketana is by definition a ruba deleta kaman. We're sitting here with a particular person, child, trying to predict what will happen to him in the future. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan do follow a rov in this case. The Tanya, here's the case in the Braita. Katan, a Yavama that falls to a Yavam who is still a Katan. And a Ktanar, the Yavama is a Ktanar that falls before a Yavam. The din is lo chotzim velo biyabim. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't do chalitza, you can't do yivam. So the Chachamim said to him, Amrul al Rabbi Meir, look, we understand, Yafa Amata, makes sense what you're saying, that you can't do chalitza, because after all, it says, im lo yachpotza ish. So ish means that you require a godol to do that chalitza. So that's Mamayat, a katan. And indeed, Makshina Nishala Ish, because it also says in the same parasha, Tayivim Tal Hashara. So the same way that the katan is not included in the parasha of Chalitza, Miktana is also not included in the parasha of Chalitza. Fine. But I don't understand why he cannot be Miyabim. Because, I mean, after all, the Torah is the thing here that creates the actual Zika, and the katan is only going through with the actions. As long as he's 9 years old, he can certainly have intercourse with her. Marlahem, to which Rabbi Meir replied, has nothing to do with that. My reasoning is that the katan may turn out to be infertile. So Shema Yimatzei Saris. The ktana may turn out to be infertile when she grows up. Shema Yimatzei Ailonit. But the din is, of course, that a Saris, since he cannot be making shame Alachiv, and an Ailonis, are both not included in the mitzvah of Yibum and the din of Bukharasha Teled and so on. In which case, it would turn out that they've been sleeping with each other as Arayot, because she is a neshet hashloba malka mitzvah. V'nimtzu pogim be'erva, since they were potter from Yibum, this is a neshet ach, and therefore how can we allow them to go ahead with the act of Yibum? Where's the Rabbanan saying, look, what do we got to worry about such a thing? Zil bata rov diktanim. Why can't we go according to the rov? Rov ktanim lav sarisin. You know, most humans are not infertile. Zil bata rov ktanot. And look at most females. Rov ktanot are not ailonit. You know, most ktanot humans are also not infertile. Now, this is clearly a ruba deleta kaman. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan are insisting that we follow it. So that cannot be the logic to say it goes according to the Rabbanan, and that the Rabbanan do not follow a Ruba Deleta Kaman. You're right, says the Gemara. Ela Machvarta is indeed clearer and more accurate to say, as we did initially, that Matnitin is only going according to Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir holds that we have to be chayish, that this Tzora may be, in fact, from the miut of people, who over a period of time will not become pregnant and have a child, and therefore she remains Asura Lashuk, not only Asura Friyiva. Says the Gemara, Gemayu Kimta. Now, okay, let me hear this again. You're claiming now that the Mishnah works out like only like Rabbi Meir, right? But then look at the continuation of the Mishnah and watch yourself getting caught in a contradiction. Ema Seifa. Haitala Chamot. She has now a mother-in-law who is in Medinat Hayam. And now, at the time that the mother-in-law went out to Medinat Hayam, there was no known brother to her husband. So he was an only son. Her husband dies. She now has a chazaka that she's not zkuka liyibum, and she's allowed to get married. The Mishnah says, Inach hosheshet, we don't have to worry about a mother-in-law, because after all, maybe even if she did have a child, maybe that child was not a male, and therefore could not do Yibum. Problem is, if we're going according to Rabbi Meir, why should she not be worried that maybe there is a Yavam? I mean, after all, let's follow Alecha Harov Nashim. So Rov Nashim Amitabrot V'yoldot. Okay. So we start off with a Rov. Most women will have a child over a period of time. Now, there is a miut of those women who get pregnant that will abort the child. Furthermore, those of them who will be yoldot, the chola yoldot, will be mechza zecharma, mechza nekevot, so that we have now a miut of the possibility of zecharim, but smoch miyata de mapilot, mechza nekevot, avale zecharim miyuta. And indeed, if you take a look at the overall chances, if you add the small number of women who will abort a fetus spontaneously to those that even when they deliver, will deliver in a keva, you now end up with a miut for Zechorim. That's all true. But after all, according to Rabbi Meir, Leichosh. Rabbi Meir is Chashin and Lemiuta. And therefore, she should now worry that her mother-in-law had a son and she's Kukul Yibam. So how do you explain a Mishnah which in one half is going like Rabbi Meir and the other half isn't? Answers to the Gemara, Dilma, maybe the case in the Seifa is Kivan The Ichaz Kaloshot, since at the time that they left overseas, she was muhzeket as not having a yavam, and therefore in a condition whereby if her husband would die, she would be muteret to the shuk. Maybe because of that, lo chayish Rabbi Meir, it's not chayish for a miut to create an iser against a chazaka. So Mashenken, when you're talking about in the Reisha, we're over there at the time that her husband went out to Medinat Hayam, there was in fact a chazaka that she was asur l'shuk, and there was a yavam. But what we want to do now is to change that and to be moderate with the chance that maybe there's a child. Over there, indeed, Rabbi Meir is chayish l'miyuta and wasn't matir because of the roof. Sorry, I had a bunch of grandchildren around. Had to move. Let's see if I can remember where we were up to. Ask the Gemara. If indeed Rabbi Meir holds that you should follow the chazaka, even in a case where there is a chashash of a miut, so now let's look again at the Reisha. In the Reisha, we have a chazaka that she should be chayevet in Yibam. So Reisha is chazik leYibam, because both she and her tzara have a chazaka that there are no sons. So then why are we chayish for the miyot? Tityabem. Why does the Mishnah say that she's asurli tityabem? We should go according to the chazaka. Omrem Nachman, Omrem Rabba Baravua. Well, that's because the Reisha, where you want to be mater her for a yavam, is referring to an iser karet, which is very chamur. Because if it's shalom b'makom mitzvah, then we have a terrible iser, marrying a brother's wife. So over there, chashashu, over there we're afraid that indeed the tzara, even though it's a miut, maybe indeed there would be sufficiently over here to be chayish, whereas the seifa, we want to be matir, over there it's an iser lav. So over there, lo chashashu. Now I'm sure you're bothered by what appears to be an evident difference, in that over here, when it would come to the question of the rov and the miut, there should be, in fact, the rov that would tell us that she should be ptur, and we're going to see that from Yibam. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but let's ignore this for a moment. Whereas the Reishas and Issachar, so they were Chayshish, and they didn't rely on the Chazaka. Whereas the Seifa, that you want to be Matir Lashuk, to be matir Yivam Lashuk is only an Isser Lav. And an Isser Lav, Lo Chashashu. They did not determine that we should worry about that. Then maybe the mother-in-law got pregnant and they relied on the Chazaka. Arova, so Rova asks on this Tera, it's Michti. Kind of svara is that? Ha Dioraita. Look, I mean, we're talking about an Isser Dioraita. Mali Isser Karet, Mali Isser Lav. What's the issue over here? I mean, there are ways in which we're supposed to deal with the dinim of chazaka versus rov in chiyuvei deoraita versus chiyuvei derabbanan. But whoever heard of a distinction between an iser karet and an iser lav, that just we should make up our minds suddenly that let's look at one more chomer? That's outrageous. The suffix is deoraita lechomer, whether you're talking about an iser lav and an iser karas. In a place where the chachonim assert something that is mutter, because when it be marchik for a person from an avera over there, you can make the distinction and say, okay, they want it to be more marchik. But here we're talking about a straightforward way of dealing with a suffix deraisa. Yalom Rava, therefore Rava says, forget about that whole approach. Indeed, the Mishnah is going aliba the shita of Rabbi Meir. This is how Rashi understands the sugya. There is an opposite approach that the ella means that according to Rav, it's going a little bit of sheet to the Rabbanim, but we will stick with Rashi. So the Reisha, the woman that was muhzeket over here, that she was chayeves in Yibum, and when her husband and the tzara went, there were no children over there, the chazaka is that she required Yibum. Whereas the Rov, on the other hand, is Lashuk. According to the Rov, that the tzara would certainly have had a child, Alpi Rov, and it doesn't matter whether it's male or female, to pater her from Yibum. So Ruba Lashuk, the Rova over here is mater her for the Shuk. And therefore we could say that the Chazaka is Lo Adiv Ki Ruba. Then is that Ruba B'Chazaka, Ruba Adiv. In which case, if that's the case, Aiti Miut Ad Mapilot Smoch L'Chazaka. So we now have a miut of women that are matpilot and that don't have, even if they get pregnant, don't have a child and don't deliver at the full term. Add that to the standing chazaka, and the chazaka is saying that she's over here. The chazaka is liyibon. Now we've got basically a 50-50 chance of whether she's muteret the shuk or she's muteret to the yavam. So therefore, lotina say. So mitzad asofik, she shouldn't get married to a person who is not a yavam because maybe your tzara didn't have a child. But on the other hand, mitzad asofik lotityabe because maybe the tzara did have a child. Whereas the seifa over there is completely different. She was muhzeket that there was no yavam, and she has the mother-in-law b'midat hayam. So her chazaka tells us, mitzad chazaka, she's muteret tashuk. So that means that the moment that her husband left, she was muhzeket without children. Ruba, on the other hand, over there, mitzad harov, is that she's also muteret tashuk. Because rov nashim are mitabrot, even yoldot. Let's say her mother-in-law indeed was mitaberet. So at that point, it's not a rov that is asa her to the shuk, because after all, the yavam is only becoming asura if, first of all, she's not mapila, and secondly, she doesn't have a female, and she has a male. So those are certainly a miut when you compare them to the total number of pregnancies. And if that's the case, havilei zechar miyuta de miyuta, they now become the equivalent of a miut of a miut. The chazaka and the rov both add up against our assumption that she should be chayev. It's miyut to the miyut, lo chayish Rabbi Meir. Even Rabbi Meir isn't worried about being chayishin lemiyuta in such a case. Now, we read in the Mishnah, lo tinasei velo tityabe. So in other words, from the way that the Mishnah phrases things, that she cannot be married and cannot get yibum, I mean, it seems to be saying as an absolute, meaning that what? I mean, lo'olam? We're saying that she can never, ever get married. I mean, the chashash that we have, that maybe her tzara was did not give birth, she requires, now, yibum. So do chalitza. I mean, what does it mean, lo tinasei velo tityabe? Omar Zairi explains, Zairi, the meaning of the Mishnah is not that she can never get married to the shuk. What it means is, la'atzma, if she's going to get married, she has to wait to discover her own body, shlosha chodashim, from the day that she was told that her husband died, which is the time that it will take to see whether she's pregnant. Like any woman who is now broken from her husband, before they come to get married to someone else, we said that you require 3 months to see whether she's pregnant from her original husband. When it comes to the question of the chashash, that maybe her tzara became pregnant with a vlad shokayama, so then she waits 9 months, and she can't get married outside to the marketplace as a leshuk. Al smach a chalitza, because a chalitza will not pater her unless she is at that point zekuka liyava. If the tzara ends up having a vlacho kayama, so then she was never zekuka liyava, and the chalitza didn't help to pater her. It's the vlad that ended up patering her, if you recall the Gemara earlier. But the vlad will only pater when it's actually born. In which case, we need to have 9 months to allow that vlad to be born. And the chalitza can be done, Mimonavshav. At that point, though, if the tzara had a child, so then she was patura because of the child. And if not, so then the chalitza would make her patura. But there is that time wait to be certain that you've handled both sides of the story. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rabbi Chanina gives a different teretz. He says, la'atzma shlosha, indeed, for herself to define who the father is, we need to wait the 3 months of a year like any woman. But lechaverta, le'olam, indeed, because of the chashash, that maybe her friend had become pregnant, she has to find out whether she had a child. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Why does she have to find out whether she had a child? Can't she go ahead and get chalitza Mimanavshach, why are we saying that she has to find out? Let her wait the 9 months and get chalitz, and then mimanavshach, if the tzara had a child that survived, so then she was ptur anyway. And if not, then she got chalitza anyway. So what exactly is the problem? Abaye Baravin, Rabbi Chanina Baravin, Amritar Vayu. They explained that even though you're right, Mi'ikra Adin Chalitza should certainly help to allow her to go and get married to whomever she wishes after she waits 9 months, the Chachamim asked her to do so. Gezerah Shema Yevlad Ben Kayana. What we're afraid is that after the Chalitza, we will discover that the Tzora had indeed a Vlad Shel Kayama, and it will now be clear that that Chalitza was meaningless, and that actually she wasn't even Chayavet in Yibum, because it was a Vlad. And now, in order to make sure that people don't go around thinking that she is a Chalitza, and therefore is a Surah to a Kohen, Nimtza Tamatzricha Kruz Lakuna. So you're now going to need to take out newspaper advertisements and have a fellow walking around, as he did in those days, proclaiming whatever was on his agenda for that day. And you'll have to now make sure that that's done. Because, I mean, after all, she is not a surah to marry a kohen. Says the Gemara, so what's the big deal? What, the 10 bucks it costs to hire the guy? Well, it's okay. So let her need a cruise for the kuhuna. No, don't you understand? Suppose people are aware of the chalitza, and it's always like this. The first story, everybody gets the first story. It's the retractions that nobody ever hears. So over here, the chalitza, indeed, everybody knows about, but they don't know about the hachroza, that the chalitza was unnecessarily muteres. And when they see her marrying a kohen in Bezdin, they'll think that maybe the Chachamim were mater chalutza to go to a kohen. And therefore, she cannot get married to Shuk ever. Ask the Gemara. Tana, and it says over here in the Mishnah, in the case of a woman, where she goes overseas with her husband, without a son. She comes back and says, as we're going to see, Nitanli ben b'minatayam, I had a son overseas, but then she says, but my son died, and I was left without children, and then my husband died, ve'achar kach ba'alim, and therefore I do require yibum, is ne'emenet. When she says that the child died first, we allow her to go and to get yibum, because after all, when she left, anyway she was becheskas yibum, and it's she now that answered herself on the Yavam when she said this, that I did have a child, so if that's the case, she is believed, just as she was believed to answer herself, she's believed to be mater herself and to say that the son died first. And we have no problem with thinking that maybe the husband died first, and that she wants to say this dafka because she bedafka desires to be misyabe. But suppose she says, mate baliva charkach bini. But she says, I had a son, my husband died. The time that he died, my son was still alive, and then my son died, which is why I can't produce him, to show him to you over there in Anem. There she certainly is not believed to pater herself from Yibam Mechalisa, because since she left without children, she has a chazok, and she does require Yibam. So now we're afraid, maybe she can't stand the brother-in-law, she's making up the story, and very conveniently, the evidence has died. However, even though we don't accept what she says to be matir her, on the other hand, we cannot allow her to be mityabemes. So choshish in the dvoreo, we worry about what it is that she said, v'choletz v'lo mityabemes, she requires chalitza, not yiba. Ask the Gemara, but how can we be matir l'shuk with chalitza, v'lechesh du ma'otu enim v'amri k'dekamra? Why are we not afraid that after she goes ahead and she gets this chalitza, Adam will come along and say she was right. Indeed, her husband died first, and she did not require yibum. And at that point, nimtza tamatzricha kruz l'kuhuna. You're going to require now the announcement that she really didn't need the chalitza, and we run into the problem that we spoke about earlier of giving a woman a chalitza who may subsequently turn out not to require the chalitza, and the danger of people, the misapprehension that it's okay to give the chalutza to the kohen. Omer of Papa, says Rav Papa, that's not an issue in this case. Our Mishnah is talking about a Grusha, who anyway had been divorced before this marriage, from another guy, before she got married to this one. In which case, even if it turns out that she wasn't Zekuka for Yibun, she wouldn't be Muteris to the Kohen anyway. So it's because she's a Grusha, even if she's not a Chalutza, and therefore you're not going to be Matzricha Kruzukona. Rav Chiya Breda Rav Huna Amar, Chiya Breda Rav Huna has another approach. But Amra, it's talking about what the woman says, Anivu, I and my husband, Nachbeinu b'Ma'ara, we were basically hiding out in a cave. Nobody knew anything about us. And therefore, Matur to get married with Chalitza, because we're not afraid that Edom are going to come and are going to show up and say that in truth, it was a case of Meita Ba'ala v'chakach Meita b'na, and that now we suddenly discovered that she doesn't require Chalitza. Since what she's talking about is a case where nobody knew, we don't have to worry about somebody saying that the story was a bit different. Zokter Eilat Mishnah, Shtei Yevamot. We have the wives of two brothers who come from the Yevamot. Zomeret Meit Bali v'Zomeret Meit Bali. Each one of them claims that her husband died. So, Zo Asura Mipnei Bala Shazo. Neither of them could go and be matter themselves to marry whoever they wish, because each one of them has to be afraid of the continued existence of a Yavam, who is the husband of the other woman. So each one of them has now a Yavam. So even though a woman can be made that he died, she cannot, in this case, go ahead and get married Lashuk on the basis of that testimony. And the other one is Asura Mipnei Baal HaShazu. So it was the second one, also from the same Shash. Maybe the husband of the other woman is alive. And certainly, they can't be made out for each other. Now, how about Im? Lezo Edim. Lezo Ein Edim. If one of them has witnesses that her husband died, and the other one doesn't. So at Sheyesh Leidim Asura, the one who has witnesses that her husband died, she is Asura Lashuk, because maybe the husband of the other woman who doesn't have witnesses is alive. And the Edim are not usable Yovir to be matter her, because they're only being made on the death of the husband. And there's nothing in that Edut that would be matter her. But the one She'en La Edim is muteret, because the iser of the that was over here, she was muhzeket. Over here, she's believed to say meit bali in terms of the iser, she used to be mater herself. And we don't have to worry that her yavama is alive, because we have edim, two kosher edim, that are saying that the yavam was already dead. If they don't have witnesses, but lezo banim lezo ein banim. So here too we have an equivalent situation. The one who has banim is muteret, because she's believed to say that her husband died, and the fact that she has sons, and therefore she's pturah. But she ain't la banim asura. Now suppose she does not have edim or banim. The only thing over here is that there were indeed two brothers that were left besides the ones that died. And they went ahead and went to Yabun. And now the two brothers that had done Yibum, they died. In that case, they're still Asurot Linasei. They still are Asur to get married for the same reason. Each one is Asura because of the Chashash that the other one's husband is alive. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, no. If because of their testimony, we remanded them to marry the Yevamim, so then with the death of their Yevamim, they were already became mutarot l'chol adam. Now, what the Sfarah is for that, the Gemara is going to explain. Says the Gemara, first let's take a look at a Braita that adds an additional case. Tana, the Braita, talks about two women who are married to two brothers, and they come from Yadayan, each one of which says, my husband died. One has now Edim, that her husband died, and also banim, as children, that would pater her. But one of them does not have edim that her husband died, and does not have banim. So in that case, shteihem mutarot. The one who has banim is mutarot because she has banim. She doesn't require yibum. Her husband, she's believed on, and he's dead. The other one is mutarot because of the two edim that said that the other one is herself mutar. Nityabmu ummeitu ayivamim. If they went out and gave yibum, and now the yivamim died, so then asurim li nasei. Neither of them is allowed to get married. Rabbi Elazar omer, hov hu truli yevamim, hu truli kol adam. The story of Rabbi Elazar is, once we're mater them for the yavam, they automatically become mutarais with the death of yavam to anyone. Boy, rav of my time in the Rabbi Elazar, can you explain that to me, that if we're mater it to the yavam, so then it's automatically no problem, it's muteres to chol adam? There's two possibilities. Is it mishum tikasava atzora mi'idala chavreta? Perhaps it's simply that he disagrees with the hanocha of the Rishon. Maybe Rabbi Elazar really holds that atzora is believed to be made, and therefore, since over here these two are tzorot, so each one can be matir, the other one to the shuk, on the basis of the edus of the tzora who is saying that there's no yovam. That's the simplest explanation. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps Rabbi Elazar is made up that the tzar is not believed at all on the other tzar. Because, as we said, she would be happy to mess up her life. The reason over here that we believe her is Bishum Dehilo Mikalkul Anafsha. In this case, she also went ahead and got married on the basis of her own edus, and she marries a yovam. And a woman does not want to ruin herself. So if indeed her husband hadn't died, she never would have gone to get married to the yavam and now wrecked her own life, because then she's asking herself on both the husband and on the yavam. And therefore, we should believe her edus, even where the purpose of it is to be matir yavama. So which way is it? Is it the first one, that Rabbi Elazar just argues across the line and he says that Tzara is allowed to be made? Or is it the second one? He says to the Gemara, L'may nafkamina, who cares whether it's because of the fact that she wouldn't have wrecked her own life, or it's because in general a Tzara is believed? L'may nafkamina, what is the difference between these two approaches? The difference would be, can we marry now, allow this woman to marry because of the edus of the tzara before the tzara actually goes and gets married? So in other words, let's say she goes with her husband to be nasayan, come and tell her, she comes and says meit bali, so she's now matir herself to get married to the shuk. Can we therefore be matir the tzara also before she herself goes and gets married? So, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Elazar's reasoning is that the tzara is allowed to be meida l'chavrata, so then fine, she was meida. Afa gavdaloin, if she doesn't have to get married herself in order to prove anything, we would still be mnatsvina l'tzara. Based on her testimony, we would allow the tzara to get married as well. But if the reason is b'shim d'hi lo mikalkul anavsha, that a woman would not want to destroy her own life just to get to her tzara, so then only in the case where she actually went through with the marriage would we accept it. In sivmina svina lala tzara. If she herself went in and got married, so then we'll marry the tzara on that basis. But ilo insiv, if she herself won't get married, lo matzavina love, we will not allow the tzara to get married either. My, what indeed would be the din in that case? To be indeed continued.